Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how the all-new FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm the founder of Accidental Creative, also the author of several books, including The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, Louder Than Words, and the brand new book, Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need, which is all about how to create an environment in which creative teams thrive. And here on the show, we talk about you and your process and how you organize your days, how you organize your collaboration, how you lead other people, all of these things that are related to how you produce brilliant work every day as a creative on-demand professional. And most importantly, how you stay prolific, brilliant, and healthy all at the same time. And on today's show, we're going to talk about what you're chasing. You know, it's easy in the midst of the fray of our day-to-day work, all of the pressures we face, all of the client demands, all of the organizational demands, maybe some peers that we have to work with, we don't always like to work with. It can be really difficult sometimes to keep our eye on what it is we're really trying to do in our work and what we're trying to do with our work. And most importantly, what we're trying to build as it relates to the body of work that will stand as a testament to our time on this speck of rock called Earth. So this is kind of a weekend meditation, I think, for all of us to help us recenter, reframe, rethink about what it is we're building and what our body of work stands in representation of. Before we jump into that, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So on a podcast a while back, I talked about how important it was to have what I call rituals of rhythm to help sustain your creativity over time. The thing is, creating rituals doesn't only apply to sustaining your creativity. If you're a freelancer, you're a small business owner, and you don't create rituals around dealing with your paperwork, you're eventually going to have a tough time sustaining your business. Well, FreshBooks knows this all too well. So well, in fact, they've created ridiculously easy cloud accounting software that's perfect for creative pros. And the reason I describe it as perfect for creative pros becomes really obvious the minute you try it. You can create and send polished professional invoices effortlessly in about 30 seconds. With literally two clicks, you can set yourself up to receive payments online. They've also added a new feature called Proposals, which lets you incorporate your project details, your scope of work, and a timeline right into your estimate. We love FreshBooks. Using it makes a huge difference in how we feel about dealing with day-to-day admin and paperwork here at Accidental Creative. And right now, they're offering an unrestricted 30-day free trial, which means you don't need a credit card. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. So I was about 9 years old when my grandfather died, and I still remember the funeral, not really understanding exactly what was happening, but knowing that I wasn't going to get to throw football with him ever again, to watch cartoons with him again, or make something cool with him ever again, ever. And that's a tough concept for a 9-year-old to grasp. But after the funeral, we all filed into our cars for the procession to the cemetery where we were going to bury him. And it seemed like we were barely creeping along through the small town that I grew up in. We went around the corner. We went up a hill to make our way out to the small country church where my grandfather was going to be buried. And as we turned the corner, I saw in the distance some curious activity off to the side of the road. It looked kind of like a crowd had gathered to watch a parade, but it wasn't a holiday. And at the time, it seemed like hundreds of people, though now I realize it was probably more like a few dozen. As we neared the crowd, my parents had difficulty containing their emotion. I could see my dad getting really emotional and my mom getting really emotional. And I noticed that many of the people gathered on the side of the road had removed their hats and were holding them over their heart. And others were simply standing at attention, paying one final tribute to my grandfather. So after we passed the crowd, I asked my father, "Dad, who were those people standing by the road?" And my father replied, "That was Pennington Bakery. Your grandfather worked there every day for 30 years. He was the hardest worker I've ever known." So my grandfather didn't have a college education. When he graduated from high school in 1945, he immediately enlisted in the Navy and was sent to the Pacific. Upon returning, he married my grandmother and had, you know, a few other jobs, and then he landed a job at the bakery. So he wasn't a formally trained electrician, yet according to my father, he wired the entire bakery and did many things that would make engineers scratch their heads in wonder, and probably things that he couldn't get away with today, right? But he was all self-taught, and everybody who knew him would testify that he set the bar for excellence. He demanded a lot of other people, and he demanded a lot of himself, and he poured himself fully into whatever he was doing, whether that meant his job, his family. He was a volunteer coach of many sports teams in our community over the course of his life. Even as he was ravaged with late stage cancer, he never complained, and he joyfully helped me complete a woodworking project as he went about life as usual. His final concerns, as expressed to my father in the hospital room, I wasn't there, were not about himself or the pain he was experiencing, but about ensuring that his many outstanding commitments to other people would be covered, even as he laid in the hospital bed dying of cancer. My grandfather's grave marker is very simple, no fancy epitaphs. If you asked what he wanted on his tombstone, he probably would have laughed at you, right? That's the kind of guy that he was. His legacy wasn't his work at the bakery, and his legacy wasn't his service in the Navy. It wasn't any of the other things he dedicated his life to. His legacy was people. So my children never met my grandfather, and yet in many ways they see him daily because I was deeply shaped and informed by his patience, by his work ethic, by his entrepreneurial drive, and they see him in me. I am part of my grandfather's legacy. All right, so what does this mean to us? Why am I telling you this story? Well, leadership and legacy are not just what you do, but also how you do it. Your body of work isn't just the stuff you do. It's not just the job you do, the products you make, the impact you have on the market. It's how you do it. Your body of work will be determined, your legacy will be determined by a series of choices you make over your life about how to spend this moment here and now. And the challenging thing is that each moment feels like a throwaway because each moment is followed by another moment that follows closely on its heels. How you choose to engage here and now speaks more to your character than whatever residual stuff you leave in your trail. So rather than asking, what do I want on my tombstone? Which is akin to saying, what things that I do I want to be known for? Right? What work do I want to be known for? It's nothing but a cold, dead piece of stone, your tombstone. Ask yourself, who's going to gather by the road just to catch a glimpse of my hearse as it passes by? I think that's a more meaningful question. Who will you impact so deeply that they continue your work even after you're gone? Who will you challenge to up their game, to be better than they currently are? Who are you going to irreversibly impact? Who will you stand in the gap to defend? You see, when we talk about legacy and we talk about some of these icons that we admire, you know, many of these people, yes, they built business empires. Yes, they created an ad campaign that we really liked, or they created some design or some product that we really admire. The reality is, 100 years from now, most of that stuff is going to be completely forgotten. Nobody's going to remember those products. Nobody's going to remember that amazing ad campaign that changed the world, right? Nobody's going to remember any of those things in 100 years. But the people that you and I impact through how we behave, how we engage, how we lead every single day, that impact is going to echo for generations to come because that is truly our legacy. How we transform people in the midst of doing our work, how we interact with them, how we treat them, how we model for them, what it looks like to engage with purpose and intent and diligence is going to echo for years to come. So I ask you, who are you going to impact through what you do today, right now, this week? Maybe there's somebody you need to call right now. Maybe there's something you need to do right now because you recognize that there's an impact that you are neglecting, that you are deferring, and you need to act on that right now. Who will you challenge to up their game so that they can be better than they are? Who are you going to irreversibly impact? Who will you stand in the gap to defend? We need to forget about our tombstone and we need to instead focus on our legacy. What echoes are you making? That, friends, is the stuff that lasting legacies are made of. Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.